Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we got to play this video for this audio for you here later in the show. General Raisin Kane, you know, he describes the moment that the families were standing there at the Air Force base as their B-2 bomber pilots made their way successfully back home following a mission where they didn't know if they would return from or not. So looking forward to hearing those remarks from General Raisin Kane here later this hour. And Becky Hillier in the house here looking at the bright side of things on Freedom Friday. But Becky, I'm sure you can you imagine what it must have been like to be there with those family members? Because they likely knew that their, you know, spouses or family members or friends or dads or mom, there was some female bomber pilot there too, that they were taken off in the dark of night, and who knew what was going to happen. And I mean, we did not know that they would be met with basically no resistance once they crossed into Iranian airspace. Right. And so anyway, and then so you can only imagine the emotions that were that were awaiting their return.
Well, that's why serving in the military is no joke, and it's not for the weak. I mean, you sign up for that, right? I mean, you knew that. You intrinsically always have the chance of not being able to make it home and making the ultimate sacrifice. And to go into a mission like that, I'm sure they were very mission driven and, you know, a lot of pride in mission in their country, but prepared to give it all if they did, but then probably so relieved and felt so blessed that they weren't met with any resistance, and thankfully they made it back home. It reminds me of Rob O'Neill, and when he said that when he was getting deployed and he was going on this mission to kill bin Laden, he wrote letters to his kids, and they hand them off to someone, because anytime they had a mission, they would write a letter to their wife or their girlfriend or a family member, and never knew if those would be delivered to his kids or not, and he was just so relieved that it didn't need to be delivered, because when you go into something like that, the risk is there. You never know if you're going to make it home.
And also at the same time, I'm sure when he's on that helicopter flying into Pakistan, sovereign airspace, to go take out the terror mastermind Osama bin Laden, you don't want to be, you know, you need to be 100% focused on the mission. So you don't want to be sitting there thinking like, oh man, what if I don't come back? And I never said this, and I never did. And so at least you can get on that bird knowing like, okay, I said what I wanted to say. Okay, now let's focus on the mission.
Well, and you get really good, I imagine, at compartmentalizing everything. You know, so he put that to bed, said his piece in the letters he wrote to his kids, put that to bed, got on the helicopter, and then was focused on the mission. And so, yeah, I think probably being able to write that out maybe purges some of those emotions, so you do have a clean slate when you go into that mission. You're not putting yourself or anybody else at risk.
It's kind of like when I mean, just totally different, this, but it kind of reminds me of like when I have to pack for a trip. I can't pack for the trip until I've done all my laundry. I need to know everything is in front of me. Okay, now I can pack for the trip. You know, it's like until I get something off my plate, it's hard to deal with the main task at hand. Right. But I know I get distracted easily, though, so maybe that's just
so
me.
Do I. Too many squirrels.
Exactly. Well, Becky and I had fun talking with our producer, Caden Bjornstad, here. He's got a big tournament to umpire this weekend. And, man, it sounds like fun and games until you think about the heat and, and your feet melting off because of the turf.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area today, there's a slight chance for a shower storm in the afternoon. High temperature readings, meanwhile, range from 83 in Bozeman to the upper 80s in Billings. For tonight, with mainly clear skies, temperatures will drop back off to about 51 in Bozeman to near 60 in Billings. That will see partly to mostly sunny skies Saturday, with highs climbing in the low to mid 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. A new study sheds light on the impact social media has on influencing teens to use cannabis or e-cigarettes. The study from the Keck School of Medicine of the University of Southern California reveals teens who view social media posts online that show people using cannabis or e-cigarettes have a higher chance of starting to use those substances. Researchers looked at and analyzed data from two surveys from 2021 to 2023. More than 7,600 teens with an average age of 17 took part. It found that TikTok was the social media platform that was most likely to show posts with users taking part in cannabis or e-cigs. In 2024, the FDA and CDC said youth e-cigarette use is on the decline. But one of the researchers with the study writing, quote, "While the rate of e-cigarette use is declining, our study shows that exposure to e-cigarette content on social media still contributes to the risk of using e-cigarettes with other substances like cannabis." For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, actually, you know what? This is a short clip here. Let me play a short soundbite here from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Raising Kane. And then I've got another clip that's a little bit longer I can play later in the hour. But here you go. This is via DOD Rapid Response on X. This is General Raising Kane. What a great name, right? General Raising Kane talking about the B-2 bomber mission and the families back home.
When the crews went to work on Friday, they kissed their loved ones goodbye, not knowing when or if they'd be home. Late on Saturday night, their families became aware of what was happening. And on Sunday, when those jets returned from Whiteman, their families were there. Flags flying and tears flowing. I have chills literally talking about this. The jets rejoined into a formation of four airplanes followed by a formation of three and came up overhead Whiteman, proudly in the traffic pattern, pitching out to land right over the base and landing to the incredible cheers of their families who sacrifice and serve right alongside their family members. Like I said, there were a lot of flags and a lot of tears.
Pretty powerful stuff there, huh, Becky?
Man, yeah. So emotional. I mean, you can imagine the family. It's just the sense of relief they had. Incredible. Well, and pride. Just so proud of them, too.
And think the other thing you think about is like, okay, so where were those families Saturday night?
Right.
So you know that your dad or husband or, you know, spouse or whatever is a B-2 bomber pilot. It's all over the news that B-2 bomber pilots were flying this and that place. And then it's all over the news on Saturday night that these B-2 bomber pilots basically flew into Iran and successfully hit these nuclear sites. But you don't know where their plane is at now, like if the jet has cleared Iranian airspace yet, or if the jet, or if Iran or Russia or China might try to hit them on their way out at some point. So until they get back home, you don't know what the heck's going to happen. But you know that everybody and their mother is trying to figure out where they are at and what they have done. And so, yeah, so until you see them, until you hear that of the tire hitting the runway, you know, you're just on pins and needles, I got to imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure they just took a big inhale and they didn't really exhale until they saw the B-52s land again. So I just have so much love and respect for these military families and the roller coaster ride they have during their service. And it's what you sign up for. And sometimes you don't realize the full impact of that until one of these missions hits home and gets personal. But man, are we appreciative for the folks that do get deployed and serve in these special missions and the family support they have at home, because they could not do it if they did not have their husbands and wives supporting them at home. And
well, likewise for you, your husband's a police officer, and every day it's okay, takes off in that patrol car, and I don't know if you hands, if he grabs his cup of coffee, what the morning routine is or whatever, or the nightly routine if you're on the night shift. But right. You never know until you see that patrol car or whatever coming right back down the street and opening the garage door or parking out front. You just never know.
Right. And there are some days where, you know, I don't hear from him most of the day. And so I'll just text something random, you know, just to make sure he's doing okay. But he gets in scuffles. He has to draw his gun. Usually I don't want to know the details. The important thing is that he just shows up at home at the end of his shift. And that's good. I'm good with that. But you're right. In some way, it's very similar. But all of us really shouldn't take our lives for granted, whether you're serving in the military, whether you're a law enforcement officer, no matter what you do, you know, from one day to the next, you just don't know when that will be your final day. And so I think we all just live with intention and purpose and live a joy-filled life, and then we're good. We make peace with what happens.
And keep your head on a swivel. In fact, I remember we caught up with the Montana Highway Patrol recently, and I think we are still technically in the 100 deadliest days of travel. You know, a lot of people think that the scariest time to be on the roads is, you know, when it's 40 below zero and it's icy and it's snowing and everything. But then some people get more cautious. Now people think, oh, the weather's nice, everything's fine. But you got all this tourist traffic. You got people that don't know how to act and everything. So just remember, as we get into the travel season for the 4th of July, we are in the 100 deadliest days of travel here in Montana. You know, Freedom Friday, we always like to highlight service and things like that. You know, Montana, you know, like everywhere, has a shortage of referees and umpires. So thanks to our producer, Caden, for working as an umpire. He did a write-up for the KBUL radio website here. And Caden, throw that on the Montana Talks website, too. I didn't see that available when I was cross-posting this morning. Diamonds in the Big Sky, Legion Baseball. It's the Goldsmith Gallery Jewelers AA Legion Baseball Tournament going on. Teams from Canada, Colorado, Wyoming, and, of course, across Montana. But he was telling us, oh, man, it's going to be hot. You're wearing all that gear. He was saying, oh, yeah, and then on the turf, it feels like your feet are going to melt off right into the turf. So just remember the sacrifice of those umpires, too, helping out these kids before you start yelling at them because you didn't like a call or whatever.
Right. Caden out there doing yeoman's work, helping baseball games.
Yeah, after getting up at 0:30 to do yeoman's work here. Yeah.
Right. I mean, he said, you know, I come in at 4, and then I'm working the games until 9:30. Not a lot of sleep for Caden, but he still keeps showing up and
That's
doing a
right.
great job.
That's
Good
right.
job, Caden.
Yeah. Even if the keys got locked in the car, he still figures out a way. Not that that ever happens, right?
Oh, no.
Not that that would ever happen. But, he's got a write-up here kind of highlighting the tournament action taking place. There's a team, I think, as far away, didn't he say, from Edmonton, Alberta, that's making that. That's a long drive.
That's a little bit of a log, yeah.
That's a haul. I mean, isn't Edmonton like 6 or 7 hours north of Lethbridge, even?
I think it is, yeah. And Lethbridge is a bit of a hike.
Unless you're in Shelby or the Flathead, Lethbridge is a hike, that's for sure. All right, stand by. Becky's got a great bright side story for us, looking at the bright side coming up right after this as well. We're going to take you to the women's prison next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Population movement has been at the core of American history for centuries, yet many of us profess to be unhappy about it. To judge from the propaganda of political ads, those who stay put are to be celebrated, while those who have arrived elsewhere are not. Of course, the data show that roughly half of Montanans were born in other states, which makes it quite likely that many of the folks producing those cynical ads were born somewhere else as well. But behind these crude sentiments is the notion that new people, immigrants if you will, bring costs that those of us who already live here must bear. And that, as it turns out, is a question that lends itself well to analysis. Most of the research says that new residents add to the economic pie, especially when you take a longer view over second and third generations, and even more so with the tight labor markets of today. The worst-case scenario, a new low-skill immigrant with less than high school education can have more cost than benefit, but if their arrival helps a business expand, the cost disappears. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Wow. Yesterday's early morning Pentagon briefing had been called to convince the press and the public that the key underground uranium nuclear site had been obliterated, to use President Trump's words. But Secretary Pete Hegseth, a former Fox commentator, turned it into an assault on the press. He said, I mean, you specifically, the press corps, you cheer against Trump so hard. It's like in your DNA and in your blood to cheer against Trump because you want him not to be successful so bad. You have to cheer against the efficacy of these strikes. He went on to accuse a journalist of having a hatred for President Trump. Now, what journalists did was to ask skeptical questions about the extent of the damage, citing a classified preliminary report. That seems certainly defensible. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Urea fertilizer prices are surging as growing conflict in the Middle East disrupts global supply. Nearly half of the world's urea exports come from plants near the Persian Gulf, and both Iran and Egypt, previously the number three and four exporters, have cut production. Together, they supply 20% of global trade in 2024. Urea is one of the most widely used nitrogen fertilizers, essential for global food production. U.S. Gulf spot prices jumped 16% last week, while Middle East prices climbed 11%. In other news, new USDA research has identified the likely cause of this year's catastrophic honeybee losses. Widespread viral infections driven by Varroa mites resistant to amitraz, the most commonly used miticide. The Honeybee Health Coalition confirmed that all mites from affected colonies carried a genetic marker for resistance. The viruses behind the die-offs were deformed wing virus and acute bee paralysis virus. The finding underscores the urgent need for new tools and integrated pest management strategies. Researchers encouraged U.S. beekeepers not to rely on amitraz as their primary mite control method, but to turn to a host of other available methods. That's a look at your Ag News. I'm Lane Nordland.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana talks.
All right, great to have Becky Hillier in the house. One thing I also want to play, we played the audio of General Raisin Kane talking about the family members of the B-2 pilots. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, in that same press conference, tore in to some of the reporters in the room, and Tim and Savage earlier in the 6 o'clock hour said, Aaron, you got to play that audio for your peeps if you can. And of course, our producer Caden already had the audio ready for us, so we'll get to that here in a few minutes once we open up the phone lines for you. Becky, though, it's always great to have you here to look at the bright side of things. I didn't even look at, I need to look at your Facebook page this morning because I'm sure there's some golden nuggets on that one. But you got a cool, sometimes you'll have a great positive story, you know, that might be out of Arizona or North Carolina or Missoula or Plains, Montana. This week you've got a cool bright side story right out of the Montana Women's Prison. Did you spend some time there?
No, I've not done my time.
You have not done your time. All right. Okay.
But I did do some time looking into this story. So this story actually is in the current issue of Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine. If you haven't picked up that magazine, please do. It's full of really great stories, great perspectives, and you really get to know your community a lot better through the eyes of these people who do so many great things. And Aaron, it really harkens back to what we've said before in the show, and that is we all have something to give. We might not have the fattest bank account. We might not have a lot of money to give or a lot of prestige or power, but we all have our own talents that we can share with others. And this story is about Lainey, and she does a prison ministry, music ministry. The first Sunday of every month, she goes to the Montana State Women's Prison here in Billings, along with a Catholic priest, and they go through the check-in, and they do about an hour-long mass for maybe a dozen or so inmates who come to the mass. And she plays the violin, and she sings, and she started this ministry. Her mom actually started it in the early 1990s, and Lainey joined her in 2005. And so she came from a musical family, and she said that her mom and dad always told the kids, leave the world a better place than you found it. And so everybody in the family was musical, and they found a way to share their musical gifts with the community. So in 2005, she started going to the women's prison with her mom. Well, her mom passed away in 2018, but Lainey knew, you know, this was already a part of the fabric of her life, and she just keeps going the first Sunday of every month. And she said there's a real spiritual hunger there, and there are people who really are yearning for the good word and for something to help them find their place, even though they might feel like they're out of place. And so she just keeps doing this year after year and month after month.
3 minute stations.
And fills up her fills up her cup while she's filling up others' cups too. And you know, she said, I could be anywhere, but I choose to be here. And when they're not there doing the mass, and when she's not there ministering through her music, the inmates miss it. And so she feels a very strong sense of purpose to be there. And I just thought how wonderful that is. Here's a gal from Billings, grew up in this family that is so giving, watched her mom ministering to these women who really have lost everything in most cases, and giving them a little bit of hope. And she continues to do that in the spirit of her mother, and just really using her talents that God gave her to brighten, enlighten, and enliven other people's lives.
That's very cool. Yeah, we actually did a radio show from live inside the women's prison before. Kim Gillen, former Democrat state lawmaker, she actually ran a program, I think, through MSU Billings, where it was like a where they could take college courses from inside the women's prison. And so it was a really cool deal. So we did the radio show live from in there with Kim Gillen. And I think he even had a couple of the inmates on the show and people that help run the program. And so, yeah, we've got to do things like that. You know, you do the crime, you got to do the time. And there has to be a layer of punishment there. But remember, you know, a lot of these women are going to be back out on the streets. And a lot of them have kids waiting for them on the other side. And so we've also got to invest in rehabilitation and making sure that they're ready to get back out on the streets.
Right.
And so all these programs, and especially these ministries, are just absolutely incredible.
Well, in these women, yes, they did the crime, they have to do the time. But how transformative is it when somebody pays attention to you and tells you that you are still worthy of loving, and that you are still worthy of doing good things, and that there is redemption for all? Because I would imagine that once you receive that sentence and you go behind those closed doors, those bars, whatever it is, you pretty much feel like everything is over. Your life is ended. But then you have people from the outside who come in and so graciously give of their time and show you that you're worth it. You still mean something to people out there. And I just think, when they're released into society, if they've had someone pour into them and invest in them with their time and talents and tell them that they believe in them, they are going to have a lower recidivism rate once they get out of prison than if they just are let out and they've never had anybody invest in them or make them feel that they're important or have something to give.
Of course, like a typical dude, we're having this great, serious, heartwarming conversation, and all I can think of are jokes. When you talk about the music, I just picture Donald Trump, you know, when he said, I was almost a flutist. I just picture him playing the flute in the women's prison.
And now that makes you smile.
And then, you know, they have a canine training program where you can get your dog trained in the women's prison.
I was going to mention that because we have a naughty puppy and we want to take him there.
So my friends had a dog named Jack, so I said Orange is the name. Hilliard in the house. Look at the bright side. You know, I love the fact that you have this great story about the Montana Women's Prison for your bright side story this week. Because, you know, the women's prison has been in the news as well because, you know, right now the women's prison is in Billings right on the south side, but they're looking at the new location for the new women's prison, and it sounds like Billings isn't in the running for it. I spoke with Butte Silverbow Chief Executive J.P. Gallagher, and it sounds like Butte doesn't want it. So the last I heard, they're looking at Hardin maybe being the location, which would be good economic development for Hardin, and not too far from Billings for the ministry folks to still be able to provide support. Or Boulder, just south of Helena there, between Helena and Butte. So it'll be interesting to see where they end up choosing for the location of the women's prison there. Let's see. You know, I just thought about this. I don't know if I mentioned it when you joined us here on a recent Friday, but back on Memorial Day weekend, we had our oldest son graduated from high school, a week or two later. So over Memorial Day weekend, I was going through old photos to try to put together a little photo collection, right? And I came across all of the Big Sky Honor Flight photos when you, me, and George Blackard and Bill Kennedy and a bunch of other folks were on that Big Sky Honor Flight. And I found the photo of of the World War II veteran who got out of his wheelchair and held up those little American flags and pointed to his own son's name on the Vietnam wall because this World War II vet lost a son in Vietnam. And so I was glad that I found that photo. And so then, because it was Memorial Day weekend, I threw the story on our Montana Talks website. But then that got me to think, wait a minute, I'll bet you I could find out his son's name and more of the backstory there, because there's so much good information about our Vietnam veterans that are listed on the wall. And so I was able to go in and find his son's name and more of his background and everything. It was incredible to go through that family's story all because of one photograph and one memory.
Yeah, I remember exactly who that is. And my friend Pat Downs was the photographer for that particular Big Sky honor flight. And he was so moved by that story and by the photos he took of that. But yeah, just what great memories of the honor flight, though. One of the most special things I have ever done and will ever do in my life was being a part of that. So such an honor and a privilege to be there with these World War II veterans. And then we also had some hospice veterans, some veterans who were in hospice who had served in other wars that were also able to go back. But just to deliver them to Washington, D.C. so they could see the war memorials for the wars in which they fought, it was just so incredibly meaningful and impactful. And, man, just so many good memories from that.
Yeah, and so I that was a 92-year-old World War II veteran, Jim Delwo of Shodo, who had pointed to his son's name. His son Tom, Tom's name on the wall, Thomas Delwo, that was back in 2014, so he'd be like 103 years old now if Jim were still around. But anyway, go to Montana Talks. You got to go back to May 25th, remembering the Big Sky Honor Flight this Memorial Day for that full story. Becky, great to see you as always. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Oh, the grandstands are up as well, so that's exciting news. Yeah.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
You know, I've been talking about Butte a few times today, and I haven't even told you about this big Butte story yet here. Let me see. It's on our Montana Talks website. Do I have the print? Here we go. Here it is. All right. HSI Montana arrests illegal alien after alleged kidnapping attempt. Now, I told you guys about this story earlier in the week, and hat tip to Kat in Eastern Montana. I didn't see this news anywhere. I didn't read about this news anywhere. I didn't even see the post on X. I've been following ICE Salt Lake City, the Salt Lake City ICE office and HSI, Homeland Security Investigations, because that's where it seemed like all the Montana news was coming out of. Now it seems like the Montana news is coming out of the ICE Denver office. So anyway, but yeah, I told you earlier this week, some of you may have missed it here, though, HSI Helena, Montana office arrested Eric Sanchez Benegas, an illegal alien from Honduras, after receiving a tip that he was attempting a kidnapping. Agents attempted a vehicle stop, at which point Sanchez rammed an agent's vehicle. He was arrested and will enter removal proceedings. And so, let me pull up the web version, though. I've got the printout in front of me here, but I'm going to go to the Montana Talks website because I added some new information from when I first posted that story. Let's see. Okay, here we go. But anyway, yeah, basically, here you've got an illegal alien who was allegedly in the middle of a kidnapping attempt, and he got busted by HSI's Montana office. Here's the news that seems to be missing from the news in Montana. Why is it that so many people in the news aren't reporting this news? Oh, yeah, and he rammed an agent's vehicle when they were attempting to apprehend him. Let's see. I did see, by the way, Western MT News had a story, so they covered it, which has been a good conservative source of information out of the Missoula area. But one thing I did when I saw this post on X was two things. One, I wanted to confirm it with the with the ICE Public Affairs Office. Two, I was hoping to get any more information, and I know oftentimes the information is limited, but I wanted to find out, you know, where the arrest actually occurred. Because you notice in the original post on X, they say that the HSI Helena, Montana office made the arrest. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the arrest took place in Helena. So anyway, I confirmed, according to a spokeswoman with ICE Denver Public Affairs, the arrest happened in Butte. So apparently there was an illegal alien, allegedly in the middle of a kidnapping attempt, who rammed an ICE agent's vehicle while they were attempting to apprehend him. And he's just hanging out in Butte, America. Just hanging out in Butte, America. But keep flying that pride flag. Keep flying your rainbow flag. That's, see, the Democrats just keep poking our friends in Butte in the eye. Ah, forget about the illegal aliens trying to kidnap people. Ah, fly the rainbow flag. Fly the rainbow flag. You Irish Catholic, supposedly union worker Democrats that are now getting poked in the eye by this arrogant, radical, lawless Democrat Party. But the update that I wanted to add here, because it was kind of funny, for those of you who've been jumping in on the conversation at facebook.com/Flint Report, there's some Democrat Party troll on there who's like, this is fake news. This didn't happen. And it's like, this news is officially confirmed from the United States government. She's like, oh, he's just a right-wing talking point. First off, like, I could give a lot of opinions on this story, but this is just straight-up fact coming straight out of Homeland Security Investigations, coming straight from the spokeswoman also for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement in Denver. And they're like, no, this is just fake news. It didn't happen. So simultaneously, you have the Democrats saying it's no problem that there's illegal aliens in Montana. And then simultaneously, when you report on the illegal aliens in Montana, they're like, no, that's not true. So they tell you it's not a problem. And then when you point out that it's a problem, they tell you that it's not true. So there we go. But not only did HSI Denver post the photograph and the backstory on the little guy with his little Batman tank top on, ICE Maine, you know, the headquarters of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also posted this story at ICE.gov. And they said, holy handcuffs. We attempted to stop this illegal alien on the road, but he seemed more like a super villain than a superhero, because he's wearing the Batman shirt, when he rammed an agent's vehicle with his own during the traffic stop. We went after Eric Sanchez Benegas because we got a tip that he was attempting a kidnapping. This Honduran national will be staying in an ICE detention facility as he faces federal charges and removal proceedings. We'll release more details about this case when they become available to the public. In the meantime, shout out to the Border Patrol for the help with this arrest. So, but nope, the Democrat Party troll on Facebook says, didn't happen. Not happen. It's fake news. Oh, my goodness. Just hysterical. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Speaking of fake news, Tim and Savage wanted us to share this with you. TheDailyCaller.com has the headline, Pete Hegseth nukes liberal reporters at latest Iran bombing press conference. Let me cue up the audio. Here we go. This is straight from the Trump war room. But, yeah, the Daily Caller points out that Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth laced into a reporter's question over his "our boys in bombers" comment and then also just called out the media's coverage in general.
How many stories have been written about how hard it is to, I don't know, fly a plane for 36 hours? Has MSNBC done that story? Has Fox? Have we done the story how hard that is? Have we done it two or three times so that American people understand? How about how difficult it is to shoot a drone from an F-15 or 16 or F-22 or F-35? Or what it's like to man a Patriot battery? Or how hard it is to refuel midair? Giving the American people an understanding of how complex and sophisticated this mission really was. There are so many aspects of what our brave men and women did that because of the hatred of this press corps, are undermined because your people are trying to leak and spin that it wasn't successful. It's irresponsible. And folks in this room are privy to that information because of the proximity here in the Pentagon. It's an important responsibility. And time again, classified information is leaked or peddled for political purposes to try to make the president look bad. And what's really happening is you're undermining the success of incredible B-2 pilots and incredible F-35 pilots and incredible refuelers and incredible air defenders who accomplished their mission, set back a nuclear program in ways that other presidents would have dreamed. How about we celebrate that? How about we talk about how special America is, that only we have these capabilities? I think it's too much to ask, unfortunately, for the fake news. So we're used to that. But we also have an opportunity to stand at the podium and read the truth of what's really happening. And the reality is, you want to call it destroyed, you want to call it defeated, you want to call it obliterated, choose your word. This was an historically successful attack. We should celebrate it as Americans. And it gives us a chance to have peace, chance to have a deal, and an opportunity to prevent a nuclear Iran, which is something President Trump talked about for 20 years, and no other presidents had the courage to actually do.
Oh, by the way, apparently the Ayatollah in Iran has finally come out of hiding in his bunker and finally issued a public response following the successful strikes on his nuclear facilities there. And you just have to laugh when you hear the spin coming out of this guy.
They attacked our nuclear facilities, which is, of course, subject to independent prosecution in international courts. But they were not able to achieve anything significant. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't achieve their intended goal. The Islamic Republic delivered a hard slap to the face of America. It attacked one of America's key bases in the region, Al Udeid Air Base, and inflicted damage.
Oh, yes, very hard slap. Very hard slap. All right, here's a hard slap for you. How many how many of you out there have got some weight to lose? Well, let me do a hard slap to the face here. Look, if you've tried all these other fake, phony diets that the fake news tells you about that don't work, or they destroy your muscle mass, they destroy your bone density, let me tell you about a program that does work. It's called Billings Last Diet. And by the way, you hear the crinkling in the background? That's because I just enjoyed some protein chips. Tastes like potato chips, but they're protein. That's what you can find at Billings Last Diet. But yeah, big slap here. If you want to slap 30 pounds off of that waistline, you want to slap 100 pounds off. That's what our friend Tim and Savage did. He did it. I did it through Billings Last Diet. Check them out. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com or give them a call, 294-6751. And they got a remote option. So if you're in Butte, you can give it a slap. If you're in the Flathead, you can give it a slap. And we'll be back.
This episode is brought to you by Temptations Cat Treats. Your cat will come running for the perfectly irresistible Temptations Creamy Puree and Temptations Lickable Spoon Cat Treats. The best time to feed lickable cat treats to your cat is anytime. Feed by hand for a playful moment, in a bowl for a creamy treat, or as a topper to make mealtime fun. Visit TemptationsTreats.com to learn more.
Fox News commentary.
New York City's mayoral primary is proof that while red cities and states are getting redder, blue cities and states are getting dumber. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Listen to the all-new Brett Baer Podcast featuring Common Ground, talking to lawmakers weekly from opposite sides of the political spectrum about the issues of the day and how Americans can find common ground in a politicized world.
That's just not happening on Capitol Hill. It takes leadership, right?
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Along with all your Brett Baer favorites like the campaign, the candidates, the all-star panel, and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've really done it this time, New York City. You chose Zohran Mamdani, a proud and radical socialist who wants to abolish the NYPD, ICE, and prisons as your Democrat mayoral candidate. He's also been credibly accused of making anti-Semitic comments. So I know the coastal elites think they're so much smarter than the folks in the flyover states and in the South, but y'all, classy, refined folks literally vote for socialists. If New York City indeed does, and it looks like you're about to, elect a true socialist, just kiss the city goodbye. Your city is already not that great, and this would be be the kill shot. Same situation with L.A. and Seattle and Portland. These places aren't savable. It's noble that decent folks want to stay and fight the good fight, but unfortunately, you are vastly outnumbered by evil people and useful idiots who support evil people. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area today, there's a slight chance for a shower storm in the afternoon. High temperature readings, meanwhile, range from 83 in Bozeman to the upper 80s in Billings. For tonight, with mainly clear skies, temperatures will drop back off to about 51 in Bozeman to near 60 in Billings. That will see partly to mostly sunny skies Saturday, with highs climbing in the low to mid-80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Frombly.
Hey, on Thursday's Montana Talks, in the 8 o'clock hour of this show, we caught up with Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. Of course, we got his reaction to the Israel-Iran news, especially his insight as a Navy SEAL veteran. Then, what about the great news? The Trump administration rescinding the roadless rule. That's great news for firefighting. That's great news for public access and great news for making our timber industry great again.
Visit rbamontana.com now. That's rbamontana.com to book your free estimate. On Salvo Entry Doors, the wait is over.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I got a funny message from Tim in Savage. He's still driving to Miles City, but I was talking about how, man, you got teams coming all the way down from Edmonton, Alberta, that are playing in this Legion baseball tournament here that our producer Caden is umpiring this weekend. And by the way, that full story is on our Montana Talks website right now. But Tim and Savage says, man, you know, because he was up in Shelby Sunburst country before. He says, Lethbridge was a conference game when my son played Legion ball, because I was talking about, you know, Lethbridge, unless you're in Shelby, is a bit of a haul. But Caden was telling me during the break, he was saying, oh, yeah, well, technically our conference, right, or is for Legion baseball, is Montana and Alberta. So, which might sound crazy to some people, but kind of makes sense to me, because you think about it, American Legion, you know, really got its start after World War One, and of course, very close allied relationship with our friends in Canada. So it kind of makes sense that there would be that close relationship with Legion baseball as well. Okay, with the time we've got left here, I want to hear what General Raisin Kane had to say. He was describing the planning that it took going into this strike in the Iranian nuclear facilities. Here you go via Rapid Response 47 on X.
There's an organization in the U.S. called the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, DTRA. DTRA does a lot of things for our nation, but DTRA is the world's leading expert on deeply buried underground targets. In 2009, a Defense Threat Reduction Agency officer was brought into a vault at an undisclosed location and briefed on something going on in Iran. For security purposes, I'm not going to share his name. He was shown some photos and some highly classified intelligence of what looked like a major construction project in the mountains of Iran. He was tasked to study this facility, work with the intelligence community to understand it, and he was soon joined by an additional teammate. For more than 15 years, this officer and his teammate lived and breathed this single target, Fordo, a critical element of Iran's covert nuclear weapons program. He studied the geology. He watched the Iranians dig it out. He watched the construction, the weather, the discard material, the geology, the construction materials, where the materials came from. He looked at the vent shaft, the exhaust shaft, the electrical systems, the environmental control systems, every nook, every crater, every piece of equipment going in and every piece of equipment going out. They literally dreamed about this target at night when they slept. They thought about it driving back and forth to work, and they knew from the very first days what this was for. You do not build a multi-layered underground bunker complex with centrifuges and other equipment in a mountain for any peaceful purpose. They weren't able to discuss this with their family, their wives, their kids, their friends, but they just kept grinding it out. And along the way, they realized we did not have a weapon that could adequately strike and kill this target. So they began a journey to work with industry and other tacticians to develop the GBU-57. They tested it over and over again, tried different options, tried more after that. They accomplished hundreds of test shots and dropped many full-scale weapons against extremely realistic targets for a single purpose: kill this target at the time and place of our nation's choosing.
Absolutely remarkable. Of course, General Raising Cain goes on a little bit further there. You can see that full video, x.com/Aaron Flint. But yeah, I can tell you, I saw Johnny Joey Jones, a Marine Corps veteran. He was EOD. I saw him on Fox and Friends earlier this morning, and he was talking about DITRA. Now I know why he was talking about DITRA, but I'll tell you what, I've worked with some of those DITRA folks over my tenure as well, and they're absolutely incredible. The knowledge base, and you've got scientists and you've got operators, sometimes a combination of the two. It's just amazing when you think about how many people are out there and what they do on a daily basis just to keep you safe.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Population movement has been at the core of American history for centuries, yet many of us profess to be unhappy about it. To judge from the propaganda political ads, those who stay put are to be celebrated, while those who have arrived elsewhere are not. Of course, the data show that roughly half of Montanans were born in other states, which makes it quite likely that many of the folks producing those cynical ads were born somewhere else as well. But behind these crude sentiments is the notion that new people, immigrants if you will, bring costs that those of us who already live here must bear. And that, as it turns out, is a question that lends itself well to analysis. Most of the research says that new residents add to the economic pie, especially when you take a longer view over second and third generations, and even more so with the tight labor markets of today. The worst case scenario, a new low-skill immigrant with less than high school education can have more costs than benefit, but if their arrival helps a business expand, the cost disappears. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.